Greetings, and welcome back to our Never Alone Faith Over Cancer podcast. I'm Blaine Miller, your host, and thank you for coming back to us today. Now, if you're just finding us and this is your first episode with us, I would encourage you to stop and go back to episode one of Brittany's story. You will thank me later for doing that and listening to Brittany's first episode. Then come back and listen to this episode, Brittany's second episode. It will be 100% more helpful to you and give you a much better foundation for what Brittany is going to share with us today. So here is where we left off. Brittany Plourd, first year of teaching, 2018, gets breast cancer diagnosis. She has a double mastectomy. And then she does what a lot of us do. She picks the whole thing up and puts it on her own back. Her own words to me were, I took the burden of it, and she told God, it's okay, you got a lot going on, I'll manage this one. And then 7 years go by. Now, let me prepare you a little bit for today's episode, because the hardest moment in Brittany's whole story is in this episode. There is a scan. There's a hospital room. There are nurses standing there crying. And Brittany's watching them cry and thinking, well, if they're crying, I guess I'm supposed to be crying too. But I want you to hold on to something while you listen. It's just a part of her overall journey. Because before this episode is over, you are going to hear Brittany look at a room full of doctors handing her their numbers and their timelines and say something back to them that I have not been able to stop thinking about since the day we recorded this. You'll get to hear exactly what she said that is so profound you won't want to miss it. And, you know, you're going to see something else too. You're going to see what God is quietly doing in those 7 years in between while she thought she was going to work. So let's just pick it back up and dive into the conversation again with Brittany. Okay, so you went through that, and then you got, what happened? You got another scan, or there's something else was happening after that. So let's switch into that. What happened next?
So realistically, what happened was I went back to school the next year and decided that I've got this. You know, I kept going to my doctor. I switched to a naturopath. You know, we did blood work and stuff. We kept an eye on things. I opted to not do the radiation because they had said it was like such a small chance that it would help. You know, the percentage of the hurt it would do versus the help was tilted. And so I, again, in my vast knowledge and experience, had decided that that is not what I would do. And did not choose to take the tamoxifen, even though it was an estrogen positive thing, feeling, again, very well equipped to manage these things. So for the next several years of teaching, we switched our diet to vegan. I was like pretty careful for the first several years of like what I was eating and how I was active. But as the stress from teaching, which stress comes in good forms and bad forms, right? Like you can be stressed and still be enjoying things. And I feel like that's kind of what it is as a teacher, right? Like you're running around and you're trying to get things figured out, but there's still so much joy there that you almost ignore the fact that like you were stressing or that you were, that this is a stressful moment. And so, that's kind of how I see teaching was it's a joy. I love the students, but students are students. They're high schoolers. So I worked through, you know, several years of that. And what I know is that during that time, like we would call it like, okay, well, we're kind of cheating. We'll have this pizza this one night, you know, and that won't be a big deal. And then we'll, we weren't able to work out as much. And so I noticed that I was letting go of the handles, right? Like I wasn't praying about like what I was doing. I wasn't, but I also wasn't taking charge as much as what I should have been doing. But I do feel like I feel like what I was doing at the time is what slowed what happened. So this would have been what, like seven-ish years of that, 8 years.
Okay.
So last year was my ninth, this was my ninth year of teaching, and it started my first year. But then all of this happened. So I feel like that's right, like about 8 years of me
Yeah.
being in charge of me. And I did start noticing, in the last couple of years, like I started getting ocular migraines and in just like different kinds of headaches, and I wasn't feeling great, and I started getting indigestion and these things that just like I couldn't figure out what they were. And so of course I started praying at that time. And also
Right.
like my faith had built up stronger being at and obviously the Bear Creek schools where I was at, and being with all of those people who have such strong faith, and having like Friday morning prayers with all of them, and just like constantly being surrounded by people who live their life in the way like with Jesus open armed, right? Like that wasn't something I had seen before that. And so being in that space, like that was such a big part of my faith journey. And so, and we would do faculty devotions and spend all of our time talking about like how can we support kids. And when you're doing that, like you can't let go of your own faith, right? Because like
Right.
that's what you feed, but that's how you feed them, right? Like it's by being strong in your own faith. And so like I see that period of time of me teaching and being taught, I see that as me building my faith. And
Yeah,
so I was
absolutely.
holding on to the faith, and I was letting go of being in charge. But and I think, again, I think that's how I made it this far. And then noticing all of the stuff that was happening. So what I ended up doing is I was super prayerful, and I was trying to figure out like, what's wrong? Why am I feeling this way? What can I be doing? Like, and for the first time, I'm not going to do the thing. I'm going to pray about this. Please send me a direction, send me something to look at. And so one of the moments when I was praying about that, I felt like God was telling me like that I needed to have my implants removed because they're plastic and silicone. And if we're concerned about all the things we put in our body, well, there's just plastic sitting there.
Right.
And so I, one of the prayers, it just like popped up into my head in such an interesting way that I was like, I will look into this. And so I looked into it, and it like solved all of the problems that I thought it was creating. And so that led me down the path of having my implants removed, which to this day, I know the only reason we found everything is because I went through that surgery, because again, being stubborn, like I am, I really needed a big kick to get me to go back to the hospital. So I had the surgery, the explant surgery, and I was in recovery for that when I started having headaches towards the end of the recovery. And I was like, well, I bet it's from this. They're probably just headaches. This is the first time ever I'm going to go to the ER and just like, I'm sure they can give me like a cocktail of something that people talk about that.
Right.
And that's where we discovered the scan with all of the tumors.
Wow. So how did you feel this second time now? You're hearing this news, right? So now we're on repeat and you're hearing it again. Tell us about how that felt.
So it was the immediate reaction that I had when I was doing the scans, and I saw the faces around me, and I was like, oh, this isn't good. Something is not going well. And then when we came back from the scan, and we went and or they brought me back down to the room we were at in the ER, and like the nurses and the help, they were crying, and so it was actually pretty traumatic in that moment. And I feel like that was kind of like a kick, right? Like I just so I feel like my first reactions might have been different, but in the moment it was like, well, if they're crying, I should cry. Like if they don't like this, I certainly won't like this. And so, the doctor told me, hey, this is not good news. I have not good news to tell you, which of course is a great way to start it. And then he's like, we've found 40 tumors in your brain. I was like, okay, so of course I start crying, and the people around are all devastated. My husband's sitting there, like he's been knocked out. Like he's like, okay. And we had other scans, and he came back, and he was like, there's more bad news. There's more of this cancer in other areas, and devastating, right? But even in that moment, I just kept thinking, like, that's how you're approaching it. I don't want to approach it this way. Like, this is right. I don't feel like it's fair for me to accept your thoughts, right, with or without God. Like, this is what they've decided. They have all decided clearly that this is like how it's going to end, because why else would you be so tearful? Why would you be crying? Why would you be devastated? And then he proceeded to tell me a story about his wife and her friend who got diagnosed and died like 2 weeks later. Again, not super helpful.
Is
Not a
not
great,
helpful.
no, not a great way to go. So I'm just there, and I'm like, I feel like they want me to be sad. And so it was really, really hard. And then they sent us, and remember, I only went in because I had a headache. Like, I was functioning normal. I was recovering from a previous surgery where they found nothing in the previous surgery, even though they sent stuff to pathology. So, none of this was visible in that time, obviously in the brain. That would be harder to see. So they sent us to Evergreen. They sent us to the hospital, and then I found out that I was on the floor of the highest concern, right, with the nicest views and the nicest room and lots of space. And I'm just thinking, what is happening? So my initial reaction in that moment was more brought on by the reactions of others, and it took some time for me to sort of process, like in that day, because like they were all like, we understand you should be devastated. And then they take me to this next place, and I'm like, why is it such a nice room? And the concern was, this might be your last room, and people are going to come visit you. And in that moment, we messaged some of our friends, and some of our very closest friends showed up. And that's, again, not how I handled it the first time around. I didn't call people. I didn't want people there. And when they showed up, things changed. And that's where I realized there was, in this space and in this time, I'm a totally different person. And there was so much room for God to be present in all of that. And so I know that that was part of his plan. And I know them coming, and we all prayed together. And that, again, that's not something I had before. But like one of my best friends and I, we prayed, and we waited, and we listened, and we did the tests, and we had the doctors come in, and it seemed like each doctor had like a different answer of, oh yeah, the first set, 2 weeks, the second set, well, I've seen someone who's been around for 2 years, or oh, well, I've got somebody who's currently under this, and they've been around for 70, and it just kept changing. So then I was like, you know what? You can't put a timestamp on my life. That's not for you to do. So these are great and anecdotal stories, and they gave me a bit of that hope of understanding. But then I realized, like, all of those are just stories. Those are other people's stories. And I'm not a statistic, right? Like, those are numbers, but that's not me. And what I can do, and what God can do, and how our faith, and like my walk is not going to be the same. And it was so much more peaceful. Just to know that, and just to hear that, and just as things were changing, and as they were talking about next steps, and I was just kind of like, okay, I'm this time around, God's got this. Like, I'll do the next steps as He wants, and I trust that He will close the door when those steps are not the right steps, and maybe a doctor will agree, and maybe the doctor won't, but I trust that God will tell me, like, yes, continue this. This is how I'm going to heal you. I'm going to put you in this place to heal you. Or no, you're going to stop this, because this is how I'm going to heal you. And so it's a very different place. I still have to work pretty hard at not being in control. Like, that's a personality trait more than anything. But at the end of the day, when we pray, when my husband and I pray together, I'm able to, at that point, remember and just say, and all of this in your will, right? And all of this on your path.
As I listen to this, and we talk a while back when you told me a little bit, but I mean, this is a lot more. And, you know, what strikes me as you describe this, it's for me anyway, it's really, really interesting. I mean, I'm kind of blown away by it, because when you first started talking about, you know, your initial journey and going through it, and you had control, I mean, you could tell, and you mentioned this early on, that you felt like God does have a plan here, and he kind of prepared you using that for this. And, you know, you see where that trans, you know, at least as I look at it overall, as you're talking through this, and your faith was nowhere near ready to tackle this at that point in time,
yes.
Right? So he knew that, and it was almost like he's growing you through this point. And he puts you in, you know, at Bear Creek, where there's, you know, a tremendous support, faith support, and, you know, I know that school, and yeah, there's just, you know, some great people. And so to be able to put you in there for that period of time and see your faith grow, I mean, you could just sort of see this whole pattern that he's put together. I mean, it's amazing to listen to it in a short period of time, right? So, but you can kind of see the timeline as it goes on, and how he moved your faith to where it is today, where you're surrendering, you're at peace, you're giving things to him. And I mean, that's just so encouraging to see that growth. And you know, the other thing, I'm sure our listeners will pick up on this too, as they listen to these, you know, episodes we go through. Your voice and your energy level was completely different when you described the first part. When you described the second part, you were ramped up on that. You were in it. You were going. I mean, the difference of that, and you know, you probably don't notice that, but for me, it's like night and day. As soon as you're describing God taking over your journey and you giving more to him and praying and doing this and having that peace, I mean, you're excited about that. I mean, that was a dramatic difference in how you describe the two. I just have to tell you that from an outside perspective, that was pretty amazing to me.
I love that you can see that, because I can feel that, and it's always so interesting to talk about the first diagnosis. I actually see them as two very different moments, even though God had a path. And that first time, like, I know that I wasn't in a good place with God, and I was there and he was present, and clearly that was step one, right? But I fully believe that if this diagnosis had happened at that point, I don't even know if I'd be here, because I don't think I would have been able to manage and handle it. And I wasn't strong enough in like my faith and my understanding, and even just to like look at it positively, this is such a much more dramatic diagnosis.
It is.
It's like hugely different.
It is. Yeah. And I mean, that's what struck me was, you have got a story of growth that people need to hear. And whether they have cancer or not, they need to hear the story of growth, because there's something in everybody's life that if they allow that to happen and allow them to grow, it's preparing them for bigger and better things that they're going to have to either deal with or do or help other people with, right? That's the other side is, you know, you've grown to a point where I know, you know, this is definitely going to be helpful for people to see and to go, yeah, I need to grow my faith. I need to focus more on him. I need to be on that kind of a path. I mean, that's just so evident to me listening to your story of how you've grown through that. It's kind of crazy.
And interesting sort of tangent, but not really, is that 2 years ago, I was asked to do the convocation speech at our school. I am not a public speaker. I'm terrified. I've stage fright constantly. I'm an introvert. And when I was asked to do this, she was like, my boss at the time was like, okay, don't say no right away. Just hear me out. And so I was like, okay, I won't say no right away. And so I prayed about it, and I was like, oh my gosh, no, God's telling me I have to do this, you know? So I went and I did this convocation speech, and I wrote it like in June, and I was doing it in like September, right? Like I just like
Right.
I was that's the kind of planner I am. And so but when I started writing it, I ended up my speech ended up being about doing hard things and how God asks us to do hard things and that
Right.
it's in the hard that we grow. And so I look at that and I look back and I'm like, oh my God, that was just for me. Like, I mean, it was for everyone, right? Like it was meant to impact and it was meant to help them see that that was a hard thing I was doing, like that I was pushing through, but I don't think that was the hard thing that God was talking about. You know, now that I'm like looking back and seeing that, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was in preparation for this.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, no,
Understanding.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, he's moving you through and to see where we grow and how he's grown us when we look back is like, wow, I would never have been able to get where I am today if he wasn't guiding it. But the other side of that is he does show up for other people, but they are not listening, right? They're not willing to surrender. And
Right.
it seems like when you went to Bear Creek for that period of time, that feels like it was your growth segment, right? That's where he said, I need to really grow your faith, and I need to help you grow your faith. And like you said at the beginning, your faith has grown dramatically, over the years. And I mean, it just seems like he puts these things in our path that says, well, I know how to grow you. You may not like the process, but I know how to get you where I want you to go. But if you're not
Because how can,
receptive,
yeah.
then you're not going to get there, right?
And how could I teach at a Christian school to these students if I didn't understand, if I wasn't strong in my faith? How could I like share
Right.
with them the joy of it, right? How could I tie it into my lessons? How could I like I you have to like go deep, right, to be able to
Right.
do that. You have to really, really understand and know where God is present and like you know that forces you into that space because I don't want to do these kids a disservice, right? Like I want to be the
Right.
very best possible teacher that I can for them. I want them to understand the joy that I've found. I want them to see that when I talk
Yeah.
anything, right? Like I want them to be able to see that coming out of me. And the only way to do that is for me to continue to fill my bucket, right? Like I have to continue to fill my faith for it to pour out onto them.
No, that's amazing. That's an incredible growth story for sure, for everybody to listen to, but to take inventory of their own life and go, where am I right now? Am I on a path of growth, or am I on a path of I'm just mad and I'm not going to do anything? Where are you? And I think he does give us those paths. And are we willing to look at them and accept them? I look back to it and go, there's a reason why you went to Bear Creek even before you got the first diagnosis. It was to grow you to this diagnosis, right? And to get you through all this, because you couldn't probably do that otherwise. So did you see what he did? 7, 8 years before Brittany ever needed it, God walked her into a school full of people who prayed on Friday mornings. He put her in front of students she had to be strong for. And she said it better than I could when she said, I have to keep filling my own bucket for it to pour out onto them. I absolutely love that phrase. I have to keep filling my own bucket for it to pour out onto them. Wow. That is one powerful phrase, and one I won't forget, and hopefully you won't either. And then Jesus wanted Brittany, an introvert with stage fright who does not speak in public, to get up and give a convocation speech. And after praying about it, she said yes. And the speech she wrote was all about how God asks us to do hard things, and that is in the hard that we grow. She wrote that for her students, and 2 years later, she understood who it was really for. And just in case you're thinking this is a coincidence, let me eliminate that thought completely. It was definitely not a coincidence. That was coming from a God who knew exactly what was coming, and he spent the better part of a decade getting her ready for it. And if you think he was being cruel that those years, he was actually being kind, just way out ahead of time. But here's something I hope you take away from all of this, because this next part is why I asked you to listen to all three of Brittany's episodes. Our next episode is the one, the big kahuna, as they say. It's the one that will cause you some deep reflection and some serious thought about your own journey. It's the one that could change your entire perspective. I have been doing this a while now, and I have talked with a lot of people and read hundreds of stories. And I'm telling you straight, I have never heard anything like what Brittany shares in our next episode. She's going to take you into two nights in the middle of her very worst weeks of her life, when she was more tired and more afraid than she has ever been. And on one of them, at 2:00 in the morning, something happened to her that she almost did not tell me about. She stopped in the middle of telling it and said, "You know, I know this sounds crazy." It is absolutely not crazy. It was illuminating. Now, I don't want to spoil one second of it for you. Just let you know that it is one episode you might want to listen to more than once. And if you have somebody in your life right now who's in a dark place, cancer or something else, doesn't matter, this is the episode you want to send them. So until our next episode, please remember, you are never alone in your fight, whether it is with cancer or something else. Jesus is right there with you. So thank you for listening, and I look forward to sharing the next episode with you. And in the meantime, have an awesome day, and may God bless you.